In this episode, I sit down with Dr. Keith Dempsey, an associate dean at George Fox University. Dr. Dempsey and I talked about what it is like to be amongst the 2% of African Americans in this country that hold their PhD and what it means to stand on the shoulders of the ancestors that have came before you. This is the Phil Hustler Podcast, episode 28.
Keith Dempsey, Dr. Keith Dempsey, work at George Fox University, associate, actually the associate dean. I got a promotion. I've been off for 6 months and got a promotion while I was off. I didn't know that could happen. But anyways, so that piece is the piece that I do at the university. And of course, I have a private practice on the side as well, working with families, couples. Specialize with black men, and I say black men, not African American, because black is more inclusive of all of us.
Absolutely.
My Haitian brothers, my Jamaican brothers, my African brothers, all of that. So anyways, man, in a nutshell, that's who I am. That's what I do, among being a father and a husband.
Okay.
And
nice.
And trying to be a black man in this world.
right. We're going to touch on that for sure. So tell me a little bit about your profession here in the Pacific Northwest, being a black man in the Pacific Northwest in your profession.
Right. In my profession. Well, first of all, I'll talk about being a professor in the Pacific Northwest. Well, you know, being a professor anywhere.
Right. Right, absolutely.
You know, I think they're among PhDs, for folks who have PhDs, there are probably 2% of us that are black. So that's women, men, like I said, African, Haitian, all of that, 2%.
2%.
So when you meet a brother, a sister that has a PhD, you're looking at 2% of folks who have PhDs. So anyways, so it doesn't matter if I'm in D.C., Miami or Louisiana, when I'm in the field, when I'm at whatever university, if it's not a historically black college and university, it's very likely that I'm the only black male, the black professor, you know, on that team. Now, put me in Oregon. there is no problem. You don't even have to bet. So, you know, when I talk about, I'm thinking about, you know, George Fox University, you know, in the whole university, you know, there are not too many black professors. And I don't think any black professors in the undergraduate. But the graduate, we do a little better. And I got to say, even in our program, the counseling program, but I would like to say that has a lot to do with me, you know, being chair and associate dean. So, you know, when you're chair and associate dean, you know, when you have someone in power who can bring folks in, it looks a little different. So now I have two young sisters who work alongside with me as well. So that's unprecedented. You know, to have, you know, three black professors in the same program in Oregon. So so that's kind of how it is in Oregon, in terms of the university. I remember for years it being like a lonely place. Every year, you know, we have this meeting, you know, all George Fox folks come together.
Right.
And every single year, man, I walked into that room and I said, man. And I was reminded every single year.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you belong, yet it's those spaces that you don't feel comfortable in, and you've got to remind yourself. So it wasn't until, you know, maybe a few years back when I received tenure. And tenure's, you know, that's the highest as a faculty member, you know, that's the highest thing that you can achieve.
Right.
A lot of folks don't have tenure.
Right.
But I received tenure, the first African American, the first black folk, the first black person ever in George Fox history.
Wow.
In the history of the institution to receive tenure. And that was the first time that I really walked in. And when I heard that voice, it said, man, you don't belong. And then I heard another voice that said, man, you got something
right
that some of these other folks don't have.
Right.
And you're just as good. So that's kind of the plight.
Yeah.
Of being black man, black woman.
Right.
You know, you got to have that. You got to have that self-talk.
More so, though, like you're more of a, you know, you're making history and being a trailblazer at the same time. That can't be easy.
Yeah. You know, when I was purchasing, you know, crystals the other day from you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I had to go and check out all the other black businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there was this one sister, she was selling some T-shirts, and this one T-shirt I had to buy. And the T-shirt said, I am black history.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes with a responsibility.
Absolutely.
It can't be easy. But man, when you look at our ancestors and right. those who have come before us,
right.
man, it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy.
Exactly. It wasn't exactly. Easy. I mean, so there are times that I feel like, man, do I really want to do this? Man, I can just do my own practice, or right, I can right. just do this, I can do that. Man, I can just make it real easy on myself. And then I think about those who came before us, and, mm-hmm. and I say to myself, man, shame on you. Shame right. on you, because right. you know those are the folks who blazed the trails. Yep. Those are the folks who made it possible. In fact, when I meet a lot of old folks, man, I'm 50 now, so I'm starting to be in that category. But when I meet a lot of old folks, man, and you know, of course, you know, our people are just proud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yep. man, because yep. if you a doctor, we a doctor. We yeah, got
we
one.
All, yep.
Exactly.
We all doctors.
That's how we do it.
Yep.
So you know, when I meet some of the old folks and they're like, man, we're so proud of you, you know, we love you. And I said, man, I love you. I love you before I met you.
Right.
Because what you sacrificed, what you put out there, you made it possible for me mm-hmm. to do this. I loved you before I met you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, that's So we have a responsibility, and the responsibility was given to us by those who we, you know, came before us.
Right.
Yeah, we
right.
stand tall because we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we go all the way back, man. I don't think the listeners know. This is my mentor since third grade, man.
Right.
I'm in my 30s now, and just kind of being a big brother. Starting out as a big brother and then now kind of moved into the father figure type role. Okay. And still a big brother, you know, at the same time we can have those big brother, little brother conversations. And then we can also have those son and father type That's conversations. Right. So, yeah. But back then, man, starting college, did you see yourself where you're at today back then?
Man, you know what? It's just, that's a great question. Yeah. And, you know, no, you know, I wasn't the dude who said, you know what, I this is my 10-year plan. This is my 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see myself where I am today, but I didn't see myself not being successful.
Right.
And I didn't know what that would look like. Mm. But I just knew that, you know, my mother, you know, had all the trust in the world. Yep. And, you know, and she had never gone to college. But she said, you can.
Right. Right.
She never owned a house, but she said, you can.
Mm.
She never owned a car,
mm-hmm.
but she said, you can. And didn't always have the steps laid out to be able to do that. But she said, you can. So, you know, based upon that, you can.
Yeah.
Man, I just wrote it. And I said, well, let me ride this until the wheels fall off.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a statistic that says, you know, all black men are usually in jail, you know, or dead by the age of 21 or something like that. So by the time I got to 21 and I was still, you know, out there, still in college and not dead.
Yeah.
I said, man, I'm playing with house money.
Well, yeah.
Let me get it all. Yeah. So no, I didn't have an idea that I would be a professor at the university owning my private practice. But I did believe mm-hmm. my mother, and mm-hmm. I did believe that I would be successful
Absolutely.
In some realm of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, back then, man, I it was like a certain energy around you.
Yeah.
That I can feel like success was going to be there.
Yeah.
But the trailblazer that you've become today.
Yeah.
I can't say that I foreseen that that coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can tell like you were headed down a road of. I thought you was going to be like a motivational speaker, man, to take more of the Malcolm route.
Oh, is that?
traveling with your books and you know, got a whole campaign going, man.
Wow.
So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to see the transition and the man that you've become and just watching you over the years.
Yeah.
So take us through, you know, you touched on being a one of few mm-hmm. professors of color at George Fox, but touch on, you know, what is that navigating your day to day, and what does that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, I man, my day to day, I'm watching this show called Lovecraft Country, and I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you know, it talks a lot about social justice. And,
okay.
And has some scientific, you know, some sci-fi stuff, which I'm not crazy about, but the message is so dope. But it just talks about how oftentimes as Black people, we navigate this life through the white gaze.
Mm.
Meaning, let me make decisions based upon what white folks will think.
Right.
You know, let me take these next steps based upon what white folks will think. And it's kind of like, you know, that voice that says, you know, are you good enough? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Do you belong here? Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't belong here. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, I know the question was about day to day, but it's really not about day to day, because we have the ability to conquer the day to day.
Right.
I mean, because we're that smart.
Right.
You know, we're geniuses like that. You know, what we need to conquer is the belief that we're good enough to be in those white spaces, although we're the only ones in the white spaces.
Right.
See, that can mess with us, because, you know, that's just like, okay, well, if there's nobody here that looks like me, maybe I don't belong.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's not the case.
How do you get comfortable in a way? Because, you know, I worked in the tech industry.
Right.
And a lot of times I'm the only brother in the room.
Absolutely.
Right. From entry level all the way up to executive level, where I've reached in my career before leaving. I was the further I went up, I was definitely the only one.
Exactly.
Entry level, maybe one or two in the room, you know, but executive level, I am the only one.
Yep.
And for me, it was, I don't want to say intimidating, but it was like, I'm here because I know I hustle. I worked my butt off to be here.
Yep.
So regardless of who you are, whatever your color, you're going to have to respect that.
Yeah.
But I had to kind of build that up. That didn't come natural.
Like, I had to build it in you.
Yeah, I had to build it in me.
Exactly.
To do that.
Exactly.
But how do you, for the listener, like, how do they get to that point of building that up?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, as you talked about, you know, when y'all were young,
mm-hmm.
what you saw in me,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, man, you know, we didn't expect that, but we knew it was something
right.
about that dude. You know, my track coach, Leon McKenzie,
mm-hmm.
who took me out of class and said, man, you need to fill out this college application, because if you don't, you're not going to run in the meet.
Wow.
Because there's something about that dude.
Right.
My mother, who never stepped on a college campus until the day she helped me enroll, said there's something about this dude.
Right.
So I think it's, you know, all of the folks who we have in our lives, man, we need to listen to them. So, like you said earlier, man, you were looking for the book that gave you the A, the B, the C, the 1, the 2, the 3, you know, the steps. And sometimes our folks can't give us those steps because they haven't taken those steps, because they've been denied. They don't have the privilege. However, what they do have is that encouragement, the same thing that I was giving y'all.
Yeah.
If I never, you know, when you were in third and fourth grade, if I never did anything but leave self-enhancement, which is my most awesome, one of the best jobs that I've ever had. Right. So I'm not belittling self-enhancement at all, man. But if I stayed right there in self-enhancement for the rest of my career, you know, and I didn't have college education, y'all would be saying, man, there's something, Demp said, there's something about me that yep. said that I can be in this room. So yep. so that's what I draw back on. I draw back on my elders and mm-hmm. my ancestors. And, you know, George Fox is a Christian, you know, institution. So that's one thing that we can hang our hat on. We're yep. supposed to be able to hang our hat on together. And I hope that we can do that. But at the end of the day, when I talk about my people,
yeah,
man, I got to go back to how great they think that I am. They tell mm-hmm. me that I am mm-hmm. and how great we are.
Yeah.
And so, when I believe that, you know, all the other stuff, oh man, y'all drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah. you know, you just don't know. And it's easy. It's easy that way. Well, I shouldn't say it's easy. But when you get that in your mindset,
right.
That's when it's going down, because I can't expect for others in that space to be able to tell me that.
Right.
I can't because oftentimes there are some you know, people of color who feel comfortable in that space, because yep. those are the spaces that they're going to be in when they leave work. Right. And that's all fine and well. You know, however, you know the spaces that you've been over for holidays. You've yep. been over for, you know, the Super Bowl. Yep. You know how we get down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
So right now there's someone going through their undergrad, there's someone going through their doctorate program.
Right.
And they are holding their head down and trying to figure out how can they get through with COVID, with yeah. You know, their future careers may be in jeopardy. Like, what is your advice yeah. for some of those individuals?
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, these are unprecedented times. I mean, it's hard to be number right. one black.
Yeah.
It's hard to be black and in school.
Yeah.
It's hard to be black and have a president, you know, that says, stand, what do you say? Stand by.
Yeah.
So. Stand by. Yeah, right. It's hard for all of that, and it's hard to be doing this in COVID-19. Right. However, if anybody has an example of how we get down and how we achieve in the most adverse times,
mm-hmm.
it's us.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
us. I mean, we just do. So I just say, man, look to our past.
Right.
Look to our past,
yeah.
and we can't give up. We have I used to work with a group called the Bridge Builders, and they had a theme, and they said marching ever forward, looking ever upward, and reaching ever backward. And I love mm-hmm. that, because it's like, man, we're gonna move forward, man. I'm looking upward, you know, for my faith, and I'm reaching backwards. To pull those from us. So everybody has a responsibility, and for those who are, like, you know, kind of worried about, man, you know, this is a crazy time.
Right.
It's kind of like that song, New York, New York. If you can make it here, you can make it
anywhere. You can make it anywhere, man.
Exactly. Exactly. They say kind of like, you know, they say if you learn to drive a stick, like right. when you learn how to drive, if you learn how to drive on a stick, you can drive anything.
Drive anything.
Man, yeah. that's kind of how I see it, man. Yeah. If you're black and in this world, COVID-19, you know, and you got all this racial unrest,
right.
man, and you rocking it, and you're being yourself, and you're having that self-talk
right.
that you can be you, and you're okay being you.
Right.
Yeah, you can make it.
You can do anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's going on with you next, Dr. Dale? What we got coming up?
So, you know, the private practice is, you know, just really, really, you know, well, it's not so much work. You know, I look at it as community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's my way of being connected to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about therapy, you know, that's something that black folk just don't do.
Right.
You know, we've learned that. You know, that's for crazy folks. And, you know, I'm going to just go to church and I'm going to pray this thing away. you know, so to be available for that in mm-hmm. these times when people are just saying, wow, I need something.
Right.
And they're reaching out and they're saying, and I need to have this conversation with someone who looks like me.
Right.
You know, that's just a blessing, you know, to be able to hold that space,
yeah.
you know, with folk. And increasingly more important for me to know who I am.
Right.
You see, because if I lose myself and try to be somebody else because I want to fit in other spaces, then when the community needs to call on me, then I'm somebody else.
Right.
But now when they come to Dr. Keith Dempsey, I'm still Keith. I'm still Keithy. I'm still Keithy from the block. I'm still Keithy from Woodlawn. I'm that guy that they can relate to. So, you know, that's something that, you know, as I, you know, I say, man, 50 now, you know, in 10 years, I would like to retire. Maybe that's something that, you know, in retirement that, you know, I'm going to lean into just a little bit more. But yeah, but who said, I told you, like, I'm, you know, I was never the dude who did the 10-year, 20-year plan.
Right.
You know, I'm just kind of a man of faith, and whatever God puts in front of me, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and step on in. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let him order your steps.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Dem. I appreciate it, man. You've been, you know, a living icon for me.
Oh, man, right on.
And, you know, not, like I said earlier, brother figure, father figure. So this episode is like a, almost like a full circle, man, everything coming back around. So
man, that's love.
I appreciate the moment and you allowing me to come in and sit down and talk to you and have this conversation today.
Right on, man, right on. Much love, much love.
I appreciate that. Cool.
All right.
This has been another episode of the Failed Hustler Podcast. Thank you for listening.